God's Image and the Sanctity of Human Life, Some Comments on Genesis 9:6 by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. A study of Genesis 9:1-6 in the context of other biblical passages on humans as made in God's image. To take a human life, other than under the penal conditions specified in Scripture, is to attack the image of God. Genesis 9:1-7 reads like this in the NIV. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God created man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." So, emphasize here, verse 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man. What is this image of God mentioned there? Well, we're told God created mankind in his image, Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image," and then a similar phrase, "in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. What is this image of God? Well, whatever it is, humans pass on this image to their descendants, so we're still in God's image today. We see in Genesis 5:3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. And then Acts 17:29, Paul speaking, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill." The point seems to be that we're not to think of gods as made in our image, but we made in God's image. And then James 3:9, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness." James is pointing out the inconsistency of praising God and cursing humans who are in God's likeness. Well, what's this Genesis 9? Why does Genesis 9:6 say it is wrong to shed human blood, that is, to take human life? Well, it says because we are made in the image and likeness of God. Something similar is also said in James 3:9, where James notes that it is wrong for us even to curse other humans. And you recall that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount suggests that having hatred for someone is in the same class as murdering them. What does it mean for humans to be made in God's image? Well, clearly, somehow we humans resemble God. That's what an image does, resembles it, huh? In the creation account, this seems to be set in contrast to the plants and animals, which are made, quote, "according to their kinds," unquote. As it says in Genesis 1, verses 11, 12, 21, 24, and 25. Apparently, the implication is that we humans resemble gods, resemble God in ways that plants and animals do not. One way to understand this would be to make a list of words that describe God and compare it with a list that describes humans, but not plants and animals. We'll do something of the sort by and by. Meanwhile, what is an image? What does it mean for something to be made in our image? For instance, whose images are on U.S. coins? Whose image is on the cent? Well, it's Abraham Lincoln. There it is. Whose image is on the nickel? Thomas Jefferson. Whose image is on the dime? Franklin D. Roosevelt. Whose image is on the quarter? George Washington. Why do we call these images? Well, because they resemble Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Washington, but they also differ in various ways, the images made of metal in this particular case. It's a raised relief on what is otherwise basically two-dimensional. It's only facing a particular way. All of these are side-facing in one way or another. We call them images because they resemble in certain ways and don't resemble in other ways. How does a photograph contain our image? Well, somewhat similar idea. We're getting a two-dimensional representation of ourselves. It's a representation on photo paper or electronically on a computer screen or something of that sort. And yet it still is a recognizable resemblance, typically, to the person whose image it is. So there's the idea of image resemblance in some way. A likeness is the term that the translators use for another word that's used in the same context. Well, what is God like? Well, according to one of the questions in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, drawn on the biblical materials, we have this: God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So by comparison, we might say, we humans are spirits, maybe spirits embodied. We are finite instead of infinite, temporal instead of eternal, changeable instead of unchangeable, in our being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So we can say there are some characteristics that show up in humans, their being, their nature, and then their wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And though we resemble God in certain ways here, we don't in other ways. Why is it wrong to make images of God? Well, God does warn us against doing this, so it must be wrong. Several passages suggest that the images of God we make are distortions. Thus God is saying, let me make the image of God that I want you to have. And humans are one example of an image of God that he has made. Some other examples are some verbal images that are used in metaphors and parables in the Bible. We have a PowerPoint talk here on our IBRI website. Forgotten the exact title here. But in which the relationship between God and humans is represented first as that of a potter to clay, and then that of a farmer to plant, and then of a shepherd to the sheep, and a king to his subjects, and a master to his slave, and a father, or occasionally a mother, to children, and then finally of a husband to a wife. So those would be other examples of images of God that he has made in a verbal sense. Huh? What does it mean to say Christ is the image of God? 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Colossians 1:15 says about Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Apparently, we are to understand this in contrast with ourselves being images of God. Jesus is a better image of God than we are, a more accurate likeness, a closer resemblance. For one thing, he is God. And so the way he images God then in his human nature is going to be closer than how we do. For another, as a human, he is sinless. And so the image of God in him as a human has not been marred by sin as it has been in our own case. Well, the Bible promises that someday we will be an image of God in a way that we are not now. How will that be? Romans 8:29, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, so that we'll one day be conformed to the likeness of God's Son. Remember, likeness is used in a synonymous way to image, huh? 1 Corinthians 15:49, and just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so we shall bear the likeness of the man for heaven, from heaven. One day we will have the likeness of Jesus, if you like. Colossians 3:9 and 10, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So, our new self is being renewed in knowledge. Sounds like some process going on in the image of its creator. The idea perhaps we're being more and more conformed to God as we progress through the Christian life. One day then, if we are trusting in Christ, we will be rescued from sin. We will awaken at the resurrection, not only to a new body, but changed in character, so as no longer even to want to sin. Then we will be far more Christ-like, far more like God than we have ever been in this life. So, what does this mean for the sanctity of human life? Human life is sacred because we are made in the image of God. When we harm humans, we are damaging God's image in them. The illustration of this might be something like this. Imagine a picture or a statue or something like that of someone we ought to love, and we come up and damage or destroy it. Well, in a sense, that's what God pictures us then doing when we damage God's image in other people by killing or harming them, perhaps by causing them spiritual harm in some way, leading them astray, something of that sort. Here's an illustration. I'll use my own picture. So, that's the end of our talk, a rather short one. May we respect other humans as made in God's image.